Well, aren't you glad he'll take you just as I am? Oh, my, that was a great message for us. We appreciate that good special. I want you to open your Bible to one of the most commonly known chapters in the Bible, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, one of the great chapters, familiar chapter. It contains the words, born again. We had an earlier special singing about that. And yet, that's not my subject. I'm only going to read just a short piece into it this morning. And I want to speak to you on the subject, looking for God. I heard about the little boy scared of the dark in the bedroom. His mother telling him, you go to bed, you turn off the light, Mom, I'm scared of the dark. And she said, son, only you and God's in that room in the dark. And she closed the door and walked out, and the little boy was heard to whisper, dear God, I do know you're here, but please don't move. You'll scare me to death. You know what? If God got in the average church and moved, it'd scare them to death. I hate to say that, but we're all about in that shape. Amen. In this dark world today, I'd love to see him move, wouldn't you? John chapter 3, first three verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, he was high class. He was a leader in their religion, a ruler. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This chapter deals with a great verse, John 3:16. It deals with the great truth that a man must be born again. But I want to deal with it a little bit different. Why did Nicodemus come by night? I want to say to you, some say he was ashamed to come during the daytime. Could be. Or he could have just had enough conviction of God and the Holy Spirit that he couldn't wait till morning, that he had to come that night. I've had some folks knock on my door at the midnight hour because they couldn't wait till morning, and that God had dealt with them. And why did he come by night? I'm not sure, but I know one thing. He needed an answer. He knew he was coming up short. He was a Pharisee. He was religiously up there. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had political power, but he knew he was missing something. He knew he was missing something. And he was looking, as it were, from God. And you know what? He found his answer. He already knew quite a bit because he'd been seeing the miracles Jesus was doing. So he said, you got to be from God. You got to have God on you to be able to do these miracles. And so he knew a little bit. As you go through the Bible, you find a lot of folks in the Bible at times was looking for God. Remember Abraham said he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God? You go on through the Bible, you find the prophets, you mix them up sometime, but Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah was the one caught up in the whirlwind and the fiery chariot, and he dropped his mantle, and Elisha picked it up and went back to the river and smote the river, and he cried out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was looking for God, seeing God, seeing him in the miracle, see him in the actions. And many in the Bible did look for God. How about the woman that had the issue of blood and the physicians could not help her? And yet when she came to the Lord and he was in the crowd and she touched him. And the disciples said, Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, what do you mean? You're going through the crowd. A lot of folks are touching you. But he said, I felt the virtue go out of me. Who touched me? She touched him, but she touched him special. She touched him on the hem of his garment. She touched him where the name, the unspeakable name of God was written on the robe. And she was saying, by that very touch, I know who you are. You're God. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for something special. And of course, she was healed because she saw the Lord and she knew who he was. And she knew that Jesus was God. And I want to say to you today, God still reveals himself. Amen. To those that want to see him. Amen. To those that are looking for him. Amen. like the Nicodemus, those that want to see him, the Bible says he's never very far from any of us, Acts 17. We forget that sometime. I was teaching Daniel in our college class this week, and we were talking about the watchers that come down in the book of Daniel. I want to tell you something. You're being watched whether you like it or not. God knows all about you. Amen. And here in America, I'm hoping God is going to be revealed. I believe he was revealed in our beginning. I love history. I love American history. I even done fairly well in school, and since then I've learned a whole lot more. And the truth is, our history is being perverted today, but God was in the beginning of the beginning of America, and he's been with us all the time, and we wouldn't be here except for God. And if you can't see God in America, there's something wrong with you. I mean, his miracles that he's brought, to his miraculous protection on us, and in so many ways delivering us from the battles of war and all the other things. And it is still warfare, big time. But God has delivered us as a nation. As a cliche in Israel, after the Six-Day War in Israel, of course, in the 1948 war and all of that. But when we were over there, our guide said this to us. He said, today, that you, to be in Israel and to know what has happened, you have to believe in miracles. And he was talking about the miracles of the Six-Day War and how that a smaller group was able to win. And many of the enemy saw supernatural things happen and surrendered to soldiers in shining clothes that the Jewish soldiers themselves could not see. Miracles, you ought to hear them over there. Yeah, God was in it. God was in the beginning in America. God is still here today, and I'm hoping to see him show up in this election, not only on Tuesday, but ahead of that, I'm praying to see God again. I'll tell you one thing, I sure see the great forces of Satan that's against him. I mean, they're showing up everywhere you want to look. Molly mentioned in Sunday school this morning, don't vote for socialism. By the way, you ought to know which party represents what. And you ought to vote for what is biblical and for what is right. We've seen some great forces today against America and against what America was founded on and against the godly values that we still stand for. And you're seeing some great forces. I mean, Hollywood, my soul. If that influences you, something's wrong with you. Hollywood. I'm going to go a little bit further and say the Pope this week come out and said that capitalism was a sin. Capitalism is our government. Capitalism is the freedoms we Americans have. Capitalism is our Constitution. Capitalism is our Declaration of Independence. Capitalism is what made America great because capitalism gives man his freedom. Amen. It gives you the freedom to work and to earn and to keep what you earned. And socialism says, no, you share it with everybody. And I want to say this to the Pope. I'm sure he's listening this morning. I want to say that caravan we come seeing from South America is the results of socialism in those nations. And they're coming to a nation that practices capitalism because they're starving to death under socialism. And the South Americans, by the way, you want to know what the predominant religion is in South America? I'm talking about Venezuela. I'm talking about Nicaragua. I'm talking about all of them. It's Catholicism. So don't hypocritically tell us that we're committing a sin when we give man the freedom to go out and earn the living by the sweat of his face like God commanded in the Bible and then keep what he earned and have compassion to give to others. But my friend, it's ours to offer and to give. If you want to come to church and give it, that's your freedom. If you want to go down and buy something for yourself, that's your freedom. You're an American and you got a right when you earn it to use it like you want to. Amen. If the Pope knew Matthew chapter 20, he'd know that the Bible teaches capitalism, not socialism. If the Pope knew Acts chapter 5, he would understand the Bible teaches capitalism instead of socialism. And all you got to do is see what God said about it. God told Ananias and Sapphira after he killed them for lying to the Holy Spirit, Peter said to them, it was yours to do what you wanted to with it. They didn't get killed for withholding their money in the plate. They got killed for lying to the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying I'm hoping to see God reveal himself, because we're in a desperate situation today, and we're seeing the results of the caravans coming out of the other nations, and the whole thing with the good in them and the bad in them. The truth of the matter is they're coming to a place that God has blessed and revealed himself in and protected us. That's why we have as a nation more than most nations. Sure, there's corruption. Sure, there's greed. Sure, there's all of that. But God has blessed our system from the very beginning. And we would be fools to trade it. We got a fellow running for governor in Florida right now that wants to bring in socialism. He wants to take your guns. You see, you can't bring in socialism, which is followed by communism, which is followed by a dictatorship, and you can't get that unless you disarm the population first. Those are the steps. You better be aware of that. Truth is, the Bible teaches capitalism, as we call it today. You know, it's amazing how that the crew that's coming is flying their flags instead of ours. Have you noticed that? Let me say something to you. If they're so proud of their country to bring in their flags, why don't they stay there? It's this flag here that they're wanting the benefits from. Amen? I can't read all this because you wouldn't stay long enough this morning. But here's a letter written by a 21-year-old female, which is amazing. They're telling us all the women and all the young ladies are going to vote against America, and that's what they're going to do if they vote in this election for the party that's against capitalism, for socialism. I can't read all she's got to say, but here's what she says. This was in the Waco Tribune in Waco, Texas. She said, if you put me in charge, this is a letter she wrote, put me in charge of food stamps. No cash for ding dongs and ho-hos, just money for 50-pound bags of rice and beans. Boy, she's smart. And all the powdered milk you can haul away. If you want steak and frozen pizza, then get a job. Amen. I like that. Put me in charge of Medicaid, then we'll test recipients for drugs, alcohol, and nicotine. If you want to use drugs, alcohol, or smoke, then get a job. God may call her to preach. No, I'm joking. She might make a good preacher's wife. I can't read it all, but before you write I've violated someone's rights, realize that all of the above is voluntary. If you want our money, accept our rules. Before you say this is demeaning and ruin their self-esteem, consider that it wasn't that long ago that taking someone else's money for doing absolutely nothing was demeaning and lowered self-esteem. She goes on to say in conclusion, and I didn't read it all, and while you're on government subsistence, listen to this now, while you're on the government dole, you no longer can vote. Amen. For you to vote would be a conflict of interest. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Pull down the borders because they might vote for our side. Isn't it weird in America that under our flag and our culture, it's weird in America that our flag and our culture offend so many people, but our benefits don't. You know what I'm saying? That's a solid truth, folks. I'm saying to you today, I'm hoping God reveals himself. I believe with all my heart that he must have been in the 2016 election, because it was a phenomena. And I'm praying he'll stay in it, but I don't know. God may have set this thing up where you and I have a choice. And I said a while ago, all it takes to lose your freedom is for good men to do nothing. And if we do nothing, we don't deserve to keep our freedom. We ought to have to lose it if that's what we do. I'm hoping to see God's hand again. I've heard this. I hope this is wrong. I've heard there's 25 million Christians that don't vote. That's a dirty shame. If God gave us a chance to speak up for what's right and we don't, that is a dirty shame. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. Because to not vote is voting. To not vote is voting for total control of your life, life of your kids, life of your grandkids, life of your church, life of what you stand for, if you don't. I know there's a lot of Civil War talk. Let me say something to you briefly. We won't have a Civil War for a long time. It's possible down the road it could happen, but I want to tell you something. There's a sense we are in a Civil War right now. Now, here's what I'm saying. What does it take? What creates a Civil War? Here it is. Two groups. Call them parties if you want to. Over here, over here. Both parties wants to run the nation. They want the steering wheel. They want a guide. They want to be the boss. This one, this one. So we have a democracy set up, or a republic set up, and we have a vote. And in the old days, whichever party's candidate won, we all came together and we pulled together and we tried to run the nation. And Ronald Reagan said that politics ended at the edge of the sea when we started over to the foreign nations. He was right, but no longer. You want to know where a civil war begins? Here's where it begins. This party and this party, and they take a vote, and this party loses, but they say, we won't accept the vote. Does that sound familiar? We're going to whine, we're going to create, we're going to mislead, we're going to lie, we're going to do everything instead of getting together as Americans and going the right direction together. That's where your civil war starts. That's where your struggle starts. Now, you didn't come in here to hear this morning, but you're in here. And it'll do you good if you just open both ears and think a little bit. We don't want you to check your brains at the door, but we want you to open your ears and come in, because we're standing for what this book stands for and what God has blessed down through the ages to give us a nation like no other nation. We've sent the gospel around the world. We've fed the world. We've done all we could. And how'd we do that? Because God had blessed us. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. And that's America. Amen. You know, you need to understand this. Basically, there's only three steps. First step away from where we're at is socialism. It's filled with lies. It's telling the population, you'll have no more needs. We'll pay them all. We'll give you the free college. We'll give you the free medical help. We'll feed you. We'll do it. Only thing we ask in return is you give up your freedom. And a lot of folks are falling for that. First step, socialism. Second step is when they cannot take care of everybody's needs, rebellion begins, and then the strong arm of communism has to come in and take control. That's total control. Then, to have total control becomes a dictatorship. That's what you got in Venezuela right now. That's why some of them are in the caravan from marching in. Hey, folks, do something besides watch just the funny programs on TV. Keep up with it. Know when you're hearing right news and fake news, and be right on. There's only three steps, and if we slip into socialism, then communism, and then a dictatorship, and then we'll be in our own caravan trying to find somewhere to go. Help yourself. I'm simply saying, I'm hoping God shows up. I think he has. I'm praying he will. I think we ought to pray that way. I think we ought to take advantage of the freedoms we have as Americans to try to keep God and his values in the picture. But I want to say to you on a personal basis, can you see God in your life? I've seen him in America. I've seen him in our government. I've seen him override evil, which is coming at self-control, total control of freedom. I got a paper here I can't read to you, but I'll tell you about it. It's from China. It's what China's doing right now. China is controlling their whole population. They right now have a network of surveillance cameras, 176 million cameras. They're looking for 600 million to be installed by 2020. They say they can recognize 4,000 vehicles, any bicycle or anything else, and recognize anybody, whether it's a kid or a person. And here's what they're doing. They're watching everybody. 1.4 billion citizens, and they're giving everybody a personal score on how you behave. And if you don't behave right, you can't ride a train, you can't buy a car, you can't have a job. I'm talking to you about dictatorship, which will be the Antichrist kingdom moving in. Now, what's in China? And a lot of folks are mad at our president for fussing at China. China needs to get out of our back, off our back, especially in the business end of it. I'm so sick and tired of buying something and looking at it being made in China, I could spit, and I will spit. Did I get you? Help yourself. I don't want that. We got enough cameras now and the red lights and everything else. I don't want that. I mean, every time you get out of bed, you're on camera. I mean, all day long, you're on camera. I mean, when you go to bed at night, you're on camera. You say, that couldn't happen in America. I suspect some of them thought it couldn't happen there, too, but it did. It's a fact right now. That's not what they want to do. That's what they're doing right now. All right, I'm saying to you, I'm looking for God, hoping for God to show up in America, save our nation. But I'm more concerned whether or not you see God in your life or not. Do you? Do you? Nicodemus had a lot of stuff. He's a religious leader. He was a ruler, but he came up short. He was looking for God. And are you? What kind of problems you got? You got some vices and some habits, and you'd say, yeah, preacher, I know I'm in bondage. Well, I want to tell you something. You got in bondage because you disobeyed the word of God. And I'm talking to a bunch of folks that are saved. There's a lot of saved people hooked on the drugs and the dope and the immorality and all of that. And how'd you get there? You got there by disobeying God's commands and word. That's how you got there. I'm talking to a lot of saved folks. Problems you created for yourself. Now, I know it rains on the just and unjust alike, but when you open the door of the devil, he's going to walk in. Right. Saved or unsaved, he's going to come in and ruin your life if you let him do it. So you have consequences of every choice you make. No doubt about it. I say to you, there's a way back. Let me put it this way. The way out of your problems is the way back to where you left God, where you turned your back on God, where you disobeyed God's word. And that's where it starts. I mean, the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. It's still true. And the transgressor can be a saved person transgressing the word of God. No doubt about it. Way back is available, but you got to be willing to tell. I read about the church at Ephesus over in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And God said, I got somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. But you know what? He said, I tell you what, do. Turn back, repent, and do the first works again. Was there ever a time your first work was faithful attendance at the house of God? Was there ever a time your first work was to give God the tithe? Was there ever a time that your first work was to live clean as a good neighbor and you didn't go with the wrong group and you didn't talk the wrong way and you didn't listen and watch the wrong stuff? Was there ever a way that you used to do that? Well, get back to it if you want help. Amen. Repent and come back. That's the answer. That's the answer. I say to you here, if you're a lost sinner, you've never been saved. Have you ever seen God in your life? Now, don't let somebody lie to you. God does speak to the lost sinner. Yes, he does. He did to me. He does to you. No doubt about it. Ever been sick unto death when you should have died in your past? God intervened to keep you from dying. Do you understand that? He saved you. Was there ever a time you were in a bad wreck and you should have died and yet you didn't? That was God. Do you see him? Maybe you don't see him because you're not looking for him. But he gave you his grace. Even when you were denying him, was there a time, maybe in war, when you should have been killed and you were not? I remember a soldier saying to me, he said, I told God, just save me out of this. My buddies was dying all around me. He said, when I get home, I'll live for you. And you know what he did? He did. A lot of them made that promise and didn't keep it, but he kept it. Oh, yeah, he saw God. I could give you personal examples. I should have been dead. Mother tells me the doctor told her when I had pneumonia as a 3 or 4 year old, He told her, said, if he makes it through the night, he might live. I don't think he'll make it through the night. But it did make it through the night. That's God. And sometimes I had some automobile wrecks and things and crashes that should have took me out, but God didn't let it happen. There's a time I had some bullets hitting the ground around me, and yet they missed me. I give God credit for that. I'm simply saying to you, maybe you don't see God because you're not looking for him. Maybe you don't recognize I'm alive by his grace. I have another chance to accept Jesus by his grace. I'm in his house this morning by his grace. I have an opportunity to be saved and get my life straightened out, but more important, to go to heaven by his grace. Amen. Seeing God, seeing God. Do you see him? Oh, yes, I've seen him, and you have too, in his actions. It's a wonderful thing to know that he was there all the time when you thought he wasn't. And then you look back and say, it had to be God. Had to be God. I'm hoping that God's going to allow us to buy some more time in America. That may happen, may not. We may be close enough that this is going to be bottoms up. I don't know. But I know this, on a personal level, I'll still have the same relationship with Jesus Christ after all the elections and after all the governments fall. He'll still be there. Amen. He'll still be there. Amen. We're all going to see God one day. Oh, yes, death is coming. Oh, yes, the second coming is closer than it's ever been. We're going to see him one day. You know, some see God today in his love. Bible says, talking about the second coming, that there are a group that's going to love his appearing. I'm going to love his appearing. Are you fearful of it, or do you look forward to it? Love his appearing. You see him in love. There's some that see him in fear. You ever read the book of Daniel over there, where an old evil ruler by the name Belshazzar was throwing a booze party? And he sent for the vessels in the temple and put his dirty, filthy booze in those vessels, and he mocked God in his wild party. And all of a sudden, on the plaster of the wall, a hand began to show and write. Fingers of a man's hand. Looks like a man's hand. Big hand. Big writing on the wall. And the Bible says that king who was boasting, blaspheming, boozing it up, the Bible says his knees smote against each other. Scared him to death, and rightfully so, because it wrote his judgment on the wall. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And that very night, the Bible says, God sent the enemy army in, and old Belshazzar met his death. That very night, he met God. He saw God, but he saw him in judgment. You got the opportunity today to see him in love. Amen. There's a time, Revelation chapter 6, when the scrolls of the heavens are going to be rolled back. And the rich men and the bond men and everybody on earth that's denied the Lord look up in fear, and they see him, and they say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. That's the crew that's going to see God in judgment. They're going to dread seeing God. You can see him in love. You see him in love when you look at Calvary and see how Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Shed his blood for you. You see him in love. You see him in love. You heard the young lady a while ago saying, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's what he's saying to you in love. Wanting you to come, wanting you to be saved, wanting you to confess him as Savior. So one day you face him in joy because you accepted him in love. One day you can have it the other way if you want it. You can face him in fear and you can face him in judgment. Oh, my friend, don't do that. God has done everything he could to get you saved and ready for heaven. Are you ready for it? Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I am ready for it. I know Jesus is my Savior. I came to him just like I was, and he received me. I'm saved today. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that. If you know it, can you lift your hand right now as a testimony all over the building? Do you know it? Do you know it? Thank you. You may raise your hand. Are you here and you say, preacher, I know I'm lost. I know God has saved me to this point, saved me from accidents and sickness. And I'm here today just because he made it possible. No, I've never received Christ. And if I died today, I'd go to hell. But preacher, I do know I've seen God preserve me and bring me to this place today, a place I am thankful. I have looked for him, and I look on my life and see he had to be there to get me here today. While our heads are bowed, would you say, preacher, have me in mind when you pray? I'll not call your name. I won't embarrass you, but would you slip that hand up just before I pray? Just up and down in the congregation, in the back. Yes, thank you. Are there others? Just up and down. Let's stand quietly. Father, we see a hand or two. Just a hand or two, Lord, that's raised saying, I'm not saved, but I need to be. I pray for them right now, Lord. I pray in this very moment you'd speak to their heart. Give them courage to step out and come forward and receive Christ. Hundreds of people around them today in this building, Lord, and all of them done that very thing. They came in openly, unashamedly, said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the invitation right now. I pray you'd speak to hearts. Father, a lot of folks are looking for you in the wrong place. We've been telling them from your word what the right place is. It's in your house. It is in your son that loved them and died for them. I pray as we sing a verse of invitation, invite them to come, that not one would leave this building lost today. Have your way, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Maybe you lifted your hand. You know you're not saved. You need to get saved. Come meet me right here. Just leave that seat and come down the aisle. As others do it, you do it. You come as we sing.
Just how